I hope everyone's doing well this morning. I know it's, as John said, it's Memorial Day, and we are mindful of all of our veterans and the many that there are. As John said, my father served as well in Vietnam, and so we remember all of our veterans and those who gave their life for this country. We also know this is a Memorial Day like no other Memorial Day that we've ever had. It's not... normal seems to be the word we keep using, and I think we've overused it, so it's just not the same as what we're used to. I was reminded, though, yesterday morning, and whatever you think about the newspaper, the New York Times on their front page posted the almost 98,000 people who have lost their lives to this illness, and they posted this in memoriam, and it was probably the most humbling moment to just see the front page of the paper and see name after name after name after name after name of people who have lost their lives to this virus. And it was just a reminder, even as we celebrate this Memorial Day, that there are many families around this country who are mourning the loss of loved ones now because of what we're going through. And so we want to remember them as well during this time. If you have your Bibles, open up to Philippians chapter 2, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 11, and now that I do have people here, I can say stand and then not feel awkward that it's just me and Justin. So if you would stand as we read this passage from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, if any of you have encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Father, we thank you for this moment, a moment to be together, a moment to be connected with each other, whether we're here, Lord, or whether we're at home watching online, Lord, we are reminded that through all of this, we are connected through your Spirit. And so, Lord, in this moment, we pray our hearts and our minds are open to what your Spirit wants us to hear, to what your Spirit wants us to experience. And, Lord, we pray that in this moment, your Spirit transform us more into your image. Lord, watch over us, be with us. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Be seated. Henry Nouwen, a theologian and professor at Yale Divinity and later at Harvard, decided in 1985 to leave his professorship at Harvard and join the Daybreak community in Canada. Now, the Daybreak community was a place for and a ministry to the mentally and physically handicapped individuals. And for most of us, it would not have been the place we would think about getting rid of a career and going to. It wouldn't be a place that you and I probably would want to live, especially for a professor and a speaker of Nouwen's status. But this is what he writes in his book, Turning My Mourning Into Dancing. He says this about going to Daybreak. When I came to Daybreak, the community of ministry to disabled people, which I have been a minister, I was experiencing a great deal of personal pain. My many years in the world of academics, my travels among the poor in Central America, and later my speaking around the world about what I had seen had left me deflated. My schedule kept me running hard and fast. Rather than providing an escape from my own inner conflicts, my scurrying from speaking engagement to speaking engagement only intensified my inner turmoil. And because of my schedule, I could not fully face my pain. I carried on with the illusion that I was in control, that I could avoid what I did not want to face within myself and the world around me. But when I arrived, I witnessed the enormous suffering of the mentally and physically handicapped person living here. I came to gradually see my painful problems in a new light. I realized they formed part of a much larger suffering, and I found through that insight new energy to live amid my own hardships and pain. I realized that healing begins with our taking pain out of its diabolic isolation and seeing that whatever we suffer in the communion of humanity, and yes, all of creation, and in so doing, we become participants in the great battle against the power of darkness. Our little lives participate in something larger. By all metrics that we keep, Henry Nouwen was a success. He was a best-selling author when he went and spoke. He didn't speak to a couple. He spoke to hundreds of thousands of people. He was wanted by every university to come speak. He was wanted by churches to come speak. Henry Nouwen was a success. His life, you would think, would have been complete. Yet there was one line within this explanation that really grabbed my imagination, and it was this line. Rather than providing escape from my own inner conflicts, my scurrying from speaking engagement to speaking engagement only intensified my inner turmoil. Something about Nouwen's life in the midst of all of his success was not complete. Something was missing in Nouwen's life. There was a disconnect somewhere. His life became focused on his self, seeking escape, and that's the big word in there that caught my attention was escape, seeking escape through his power. And if we're honest, we actually do the same thing, don't we? I mean, we get wrapped up so much in our situations that we miss the larger world around us. We miss what's happening around us. We look for the little momentary joys, the microburst, which gives us a high, but then is gone in the same minute. It's a life that Martin Luther would say is being curved in on itself. Everything is focused on self. And Luther, as he says this, is speaking of how sin has this power to get us so self-focused, so inward-thinking, that we don't pay attention to anything or anyone around us. Nouwen just thought if he could have more speaking engagements, if he could have more stuff to do, then he would feel better. Then he would almost hide from himself by running into himself. And yet we find that's not the case. And I think this is what we see with joy. There's this inner struggle between joy and life. There is this connect between what joy and life and how they work together. And as I've said earlier, a few weeks ago, we've tried to connect joy with so many other things that we find out it's not enough. And what I've kind of called this is, and using some of Nouwen's terms and others, this is a little joy. This is a small little microburst of joy when it's only connected to ourself and our standing. It's something that we take that gives us a hit, gives us a high, but then it goes away and we need more of them and more of them. But then we come to the passage in Philippians 2. Where Paul says to his brothers and sisters in Philippi, and you probably caught this in the second verse, make my joy complete. Joy for Paul was connected to something other than himself. It was something larger, something more robust. It had purpose and meaning. It had an environment around it. And that's what I want to look at, is what is this more robust joy that Paul is talking about? What is this more robust joy that Paul says we can be connected to? But in order to do that, we have to start in verse 1. And it's in verse 1 where we read the words, if. And when we read the words, if, in verse 1, it might express some uncertainty that Paul may have with the Philippians. But that's not Paul's intent here. Because you see, when we read in the English language, you have to remember it's translated from the Greek language. And the Greek was a lot more nuanced in its language. And so the Greek actually had two different translations to if. There could be this one kind of uncertainty type, or it could be the other way. And this other way it was used, as one commentator says, is this, that Paul is saying, if I am your friend, and I am, you could actually replace the word if with since. Since you have an encouragement from being united with Christ, since you have comfort from his love, since you have a common sharing in the Spirit, since you have tenderness and compassion. Paul, as he says this, and I think as we read it in the English language, it gives us a better sense maybe of what Paul is saying. But Paul is speaking to the realities of the Philippians' present experience. He is encouraging them as they continue to mature in their community in Jesus, that as they do this, that they share something together. And share is going to be a big word. That's what we're going to find out what joy is connected to. That their life shares the struggles and the sufferings and the hardships. And don't see this as a negative, but see this as being a part of the bigger picture of Jesus. And if we think about it in terms of us today, we all have shared in a big moment in the last 11 weeks. I was talking to a friend the other day in Brazil. It's the beauty of Zoom, right? You can all of a sudden figure out that you can talk to anybody and everybody. Now, the beauty of Zoom is you can do that. The curse of Zoom is, for some of you, you've been doing it a whole lot, and Zoom has become a four-letter word to you, and I get that. But I was talking to a friend in Brazil the other day, and she reminded me of something. As we were talking, she reminded me that for once the world is kind of sharing all in the same moment. We're sharing all of these struggles. We're sharing all of these uncertainties. We're sharing all of these questions together. And it's not something we really think about. Because again, we tend to get curved in on ourselves. We tend to get focused on ourselves. We tend to look for our own joy. But here's the thing. If we're all sharing in this together, why would we look for ways to divide ourselves? Why would we look for ways to place walls up between each other? And you know what I'm talking about. It's something that's been bothering me for the last couple weeks. Because this moment that we're living in, while we're sharing it with so many people, is also becoming one of the more polarizing moments in the world. It's becoming polarizing between people. We see it on social media with posts about various ideas. We look for those little moments of satisfaction, believing it will make us feel better. And so people around us put things on the web of whatever we feel like to make us feel better, not thinking about how it affects others when we do it. And I understand why we do this. We do this because it's a difficult moment we live in. It's a hard moment we live in. We're trying to understand the moment we live in. And in doing so, what we do is, when we say these things, when we are becoming more and more polarized, what we're doing is we're trying to find ways to forget. We're trying to find ways to forget that any of this is happening. But honestly, we can't. And in talking to my friend in Brazil, it reminds me that we are all, every one of us in here, is sharing this together in our own ways, trying to figure it out. And when we get so focused on us, we miss the larger world around us. And if we're not careful, we divide ourselves instead of unify ourselves. And in doing so, we live into an incomplete joy that sin tells us will make us feel better. But when we lay our heads down at night, we realize that all of this stuff that we may have posted or we may say or that we may hurt doesn't fill us at all. The hole is still there. And so Paul says, make my joy complete. There is a larger joy that we can settle into. There is a stronger joy than this small joy of just me feeling better about myself. A joy which Nehemiah and Ezra, as we read in Nehemiah 8 verse 10, a joy in which Nehemiah says, as Ezra is speaking a lot of the people, Nehemiah says this at the very end as the people are weeping from hearing the law from Ezra. And Nehemiah says, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drink and send some. And notice what he says here. There's a bigger picture than just yourself. So you go enjoy choice food and sweet drink. But hold on, send some to those who have nothing prepared. The day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve. Why? For the joy of the Lord is our strength. There is a joy that is larger than the one that we're trying to find, that we're curved ourselves into, and it's connected with, and Nehemiah says it, helping others around us, being focused on the larger world and not just the smaller one. It's a joy which is found in, and Paul says it, as we read, in the unity of the community. A unity with Jesus. A metaphor that I like is this metaphor of the dance. It is a joy when we dance with Jesus, when Jesus in the Spirit takes us and lets us see so many bigger things around us, sees our neighbors around us, sees the person sitting next to you right now around us, and reminds us that we share in this larger thing called life. And we're not in this by ourselves. This kind of joy is not weak and it is not fleeting. This kind of joy makes us more human because it connects us with all the humanity around us. Did you notice what Nouwen said? It's when he got to daybreak and started seeing everybody, the pain and suffering in everyone's life. It began to help him understand his and how they dealt with it. It helped him understand how he can deal with it. And he's beginning to share not only in their pains and suffering, but in their joys. And he's realizing that life is so much bigger than what it really is. This kind of joy makes us more human because we learn from one another, because we listen to each other. And I want you to think about that for a moment, because I think with all of this staying at home, this is what God has been trying to teach me. And I would not even say me. I think he's trying to teach all of us this. Because here's the thing. If we turn inward, we stop listening. Have you noticed that? When we turn inward, when we try to do the things we want to do, we stop listening. And in these moments that we're staying at home, I think what God is trying to teach me and all of us is, what does it look like to listen? Because how many of us have wanted to be connected with others in the last 11 weeks? We're looking for ways to be connected with others. And in so doing, as I've been connected and just enjoyed the moment, I've found myself wanting to listen more to what family says, to what friends say, to what neighbors say, to what you all say. And I've found something in this. I have found a joy in just listening to others, to hearing their voice, to hearing what they're going through, to understanding what they're going through. I found an understanding that I've never had before. I found a unity that is fuller and richer than anything I can possibly imagine. And it's caused me, in some ways, to get off my throne, to get off my throne of self, to get outside of myself. And it's allowed me to hear stories of kindness that I never would have heard. It's allowed me to hear stories of love that I never would have heard. It's allowed me to hear stories of struggle from others that I don't know if I'd have been going through my busy times of, as now it says, speaking engagement after speaking engagement or whatever else, if I would have heard. Bonnie Thurston and Gina Raya says it best when they say it like this. They say it, our response to this kind of joy must be to enthrone ourselves for the good of others in the community, trusting that they are doing precisely the same thing for our benefit. Did you catch that? This kind of joy takes us out of ourselves, places us in a larger community with one another, trusting that we're all doing it for each other. For Paul, there is a joy which has the power to fill each of us. It's a joy which gives us the strength to move through the days ahead, because it's a joy not focused on ourselves, not focused on the thing that will make me feel better in this moment, which what we find has a way of dividing us from others, has a way of even dividing ourselves. It takes us out of our own little worlds, our own little selves, and places us in the larger world. It places us with one another. This is a joy that is strengthened by others. Because here's the thing, a joy without others is hollow. A joy without others is selfish. A joy without others is cynical. A joy without others is arrogant. A joy without others is incomplete. This is a larger joy that is connected with all of us around here. A joy that will require traits and characteristics that can only be cultivated by the Spirit, because two of them are this: humility and gratitude. And I don't know about you, but those are two things that I struggle with the most: humility and gratitude, neither of which are very popular in today's society. But two characteristics which are revalued in the life of those who call on Jesus Christ. We read it in Philippians 2, 6 through 11. When Paul, as he writes, says, so you want to know what this looks like. You want to know what humility looks like. You want to know what unity looks like. You want to know what getting out of your small little world and getting into a larger world looks like. He says, this is what it looks like. Speaking of Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient to the death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In Christ, we see a humility and a gratitude that can link us to the larger world. A trust that Jesus knows what Jesus is doing, that God can sustain us in these moments, that God does sustain us in these moments by giving us one another. Therefore, if we can do this, then we can see others as better than ourselves. We can listen to others and be a part of their life. And in so doing, they can help us get through this as well. It's a joy that will flow through the entire community as we share life with one another. We become focused on the needs of one another, which gives us the sight to see the bigger picture, that we don't need to post this, or we don't need to say that, or we don't need to act like this. Why? Because we know that in doing it, it's going to hurt somebody else. And what joy is hurting someone else, where there can be joy in sharing my life with you about hearing the pains and the struggles and the blessings and all of those things. This is the reality that Paul says makes our joy complete. When we get out of ourselves and we see the other person standing before us. When we get out of ourselves, quit trying to run around, quit trying to turn in on ourselves, stop listening, all of these different things. Paul says doing so is an incomplete joy, but opening your life, getting out of yourself, listening, being humble can give you a joy that is above every joy, can give you a joy to make it through even these moments that we're going through today. Why? Because you're not in it alone. You never were alone. And God has called you to a larger joy, a joy that will fill every ounce and crevice in your life. And so that's my encouragement to you today. Share with one another. Share life with each other. Be mindful about what you're saying and what you're doing. Are you doing something that makes you feel good in the moment without thinking of what it does to the person outside of you? If so, that's not a complete joy. What Paul would say is that's an incomplete joy. Or are you doing things that are outside of yourself that bring unity, compassion, and kindness to the world around you? Paul would say in doing that, you are living into a joy that can sustain you through your life. If you have any needs this morning, if you have any struggles, if you're online and you have a prayer request, please send it to us so we can pray for you here in a minute. But I pray this week is a week of joy. I pray this week is a week of unity. I pray this week is a week of compassion. And I pray this week is a week of kindness. Be the community that God has called us to be in Him. Let's show Christ's joy to the world today. If you have any needs, let us know as we sing.